Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We have got a special program planned. This is National Hospice Month this month. So a special guest going to be with us here in the studio. We're going to get started here in just a few minutes talking about that. Just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find our social media and everything there, different places as well. And, of course, you can also listen to the program online live at whkwradio.com. But if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to past programs there and everything as well. Well, we got just a short time here and a big topic to touch on today. And so I'm glad to have back in the studio with me Mike Tripodi, right?
Tripodi,
right. I'm looking here and I read an L instead of the T. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Tripodi. And you were with me a year ago and as remarking just before the program started, what a difference a year makes, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. These are some trying times that we're all going through.
Who'd have thought we'd have ever had anything like what's been going on the past year in our country? You'd never, if somebody told you this a year ago, you wouldn't have believed it, would you?
Never could have imagined it. That's for sure.
It's hard. So it brings a lot of challenge to what is already a challenging field of service. And just a full disclosure, my wife, Kim, of course, is one of your coworkers, and you work for Grace Hospice. And why don't you tell us a little bit about Grace Hospice and yourself, but probably yourself first.
Well, I've been a nurse for, more than 25 years, long enough I have to stop and do the math. But I've specialized in hospice care for the past 20 years, and I've been with Grace Hospice coming up on 5 years. So my role with Grace Hospice is the community liaison. I'm a big advocate for education, providing information to help people understand what hospice is, what hospice does. And, you know, I have to tell you, Pastor Al, here we are in, you know, the 21st century, and there's still so much misunderstanding about what hospice is and what we do. So Grace Hospice is throughout Ohio. We have 8 offices. We have 8 offices in Michigan, a few in Virginia, a couple in Texas, St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee. We're a pretty big outfit, headquartered out of Troy, Michigan, just north of Detroit. But we serve patients with end-of-life care needs in their home, in a nursing facility, in hospitals, in assisted living, wherever that need arises. And hospice care focuses on comfort, quality of life, helping individuals to maintain respect and dignity when they're faced with a diagnosis that's incurable and likely to limit the prognosis in terms of months instead of years.
Well, and having been on the receiving end of hospice service myself, both my parents were on hospice toward the end of their life, and I can certainly recommend, you know, the help that you folks provide when you consider it, because, you know, like with anything, there's, I guess, for lack of a better term, there's experts in all sorts of fields. And most people are not expert in dealing with end-of-life issues. And for me, as not just my wife, of course, being a hospice nurse for a number of years herself, but from having my parents go through it, the thing that I thought that really was one of the helpful things there is having, like I said, for lack of a better term, experts in dealing with end-of-life issues to come alongside of my family and friends of our family who really had not been through these things before. They didn't know what to expect. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of uncertainty and anxiety that comes as a result of that. And how does your service help alleviate those things?
Well, and that's a great question. Some of the information you have in front of you is what I share with prospective patients and their family members, because the one flyer is frequently asked questions about hospice care, and another one is dispelling some of the common myths mm-hmm. and misperceptions. So that's a large part of my role with Grace Hospice, is to help provide this education that hospice doesn't have to be a scary thing. We're all going to meet our maker at one time in one way or fashion. We just don't always know when. I sometimes look at this as kind of a blessing in disguise. If you have that forewarning, that knowledge that the end is nearing, you have an opportunity to focus on what's most important to you. So tying up loose ends, saying goodbye to loved ones, ensuring there are no things left unsaid or undone. But we're blessed with a very experienced, qualified team of professionals that have done this for many years. And every person's journey is different. So we meet them where they're at psychologically, spiritually, physically. We provide support and comfort as the disease runs its normal course. And Medicare has guidelines that says hospice is appropriate for individuals with a life expectancy of 6 months or less. Mm-hmm. But nobody in the government at Medicare or CMS has a crystal ball. So they have what I call a disclaimer, Pastor Al, and it says, if the disease runs its normal course. And what that means is they really don't know, because the best physicians out there can't prognosticate with any certainty. So we have patients on service, sometimes for a matter of days or weeks if they were referred to us very late in the illness, other times 6 months, 9 months, a year or more, just depending on how that disease plays out.
Well, and my mother was a case of a year or more in that. And in fact, her own physician said that my mother, had it not been for hospice care, might not have lasted as long as she did. That almost seems counterintuitive, yeah. Doesn't it?
No, but that's a good point. And I often cite that, you know, studies have been done over a wide cross-section of the patient population, meaning various ages, diagnoses, genders, et cetera. And categorically, the conclusion is that when you have the support of the hospice team, you do tend to live a little longer than you might otherwise. Mm-hmm. And not in terms of years or maybe even months, but on average, about a month to 2 months longer than you would without the support of the hospice team, because you have that constant presence, that attention. Our nurses are coming out on a weekly basis, sometimes more than weekly. We're available 24 hours a day if there's a concern or an issue, a crisis. And the team consists of nurses, personal care aides, spiritual care, social work, volunteers, our own medical director, physician. It's a very comprehensive team to help support individuals through this end-of-life journey.
Well, and when you talk about all these different people coming out, and like I said with my mom, I know that she appreciated that very much, the different people coming out at different times, different sets of eyes on her. But, you know, when we look at the current situation in the world around us today, there's special challenges now. And I guess this is kind of a twofold question. First, as you said before, about the services that you offer, we're not talking about taking somebody from their home or from a nursing home and setting them in a special hospice house like some services do. You've mentioned in the past about how you treat people where they are as much as possible. What kind of challenges does that give the hospice team under these current conditions?
Well, and to be clear, that's a good point, because these are times that none of us have ever experienced.
Right.
And we've been dealing with this for many, many months. And I like to clarify, our role is to be a supportive service. So we don't come in and try to take control and be overbearing. And mm-hmm. we do as much or as little as the patient and family wants in terms of providing that help. So I explained to folks, Medicare requires the nurse to come out at least once every couple of weeks. So in order to be compliant and get reimbursed through Medicare, we have to have the nurse come out at least every couple of weeks. And we really tailor the plan of care to the individual need and circumstance. Some families want all the services and they want the nurse a couple of times a week, the aide, the social worker, the chaplain. Others are a little fearful and a little skeptical. Even though our staff are COVID tested and COVID negative, mm-hmm. we monitor all the, you know, guidelines from the CDC. we recognize that fear. It's legitimate. And so if they want less service, we're able to provide that, and they have the comfort of knowing that we're just a phone call away. Where it really has had an impact with our patient population, Pastor Al, is in those long-term care communities, mm-hmm. those assisted living facilities. And it can vary from one to the next to the next. If they have positive cases, they're on lockdown. Sometimes they don't let any of our staff members in, and we have to do what's called telehealth visits, virtual visits. Others are a little more discretionary. Sometimes they'll let the nurse in, but nobody else. And sometimes it's truly end-of-life care. When they're down to the wire and it's the last 24 hours, they tend to be a little more accommodating, let's say.
Yeah, and I remember, in fact, when all of this started out, you talk about, none of us have experienced this before. When I was in Bible school, I didn't get a special, course in dealing with pandemic.
Right, exactly.
I don't think you did either.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, there's certain things, but like we do live in unusual times. So, but with that in mind, and you mentioned about going into facilities, and that's another good area to look at here as well. Let's say that somebody has a loved one and they're in a long-term care facility, either a skilled nursing situation, or perhaps they're just in assisted living, and they reach the point where the family and the patient believe that hospice would be a good alternative. What do you do? Do you keep them in that facility then?
So, by and large, we do. That's more often than not the case. And mm-hmm. and the process begins with a little bit of information gathering. So we need to get some clinical data regarding their physical condition, what their diagnosis is, what their prognosis is. And then if we determine that they're likely to be appropriate, the official assessment by the RN requires a physician order. So, and it's important to point out that patients can keep their physician if their physician is in agreement. So if they've had a family doctor for 20, 30 years, that family doctor can stay in charge of the plan of care if they're in agreement. We also have our medical director that can provide orders and prescriptions as needed. But yeah, by and large, we try to keep the patient wherever they prefer to stay. And sometimes we'll have a situation where a patient starts out on service in a home setting with a loved one as their primary caregiver, but perhaps as their condition declines and their care needs increase, it's no longer a suitable or safe environment. So we help coordinate those transfers to a higher level of care if it's in fact appropriate.
And also, I know that you have resources to bring hospital beds and things into the home. They don't choose to do that.
Yeah, and that's the third flyer that I gave you there. It talks about the various disciplines available, which we've already touched on in terms of the personnel. But we also provide any medical equipment that is needed regarding hospital bed, oxygen, walker, wheelchair, etc. Hospice covers medical supplies. So if they have wounds that need bandages, or if they have incontinence and they need adult undergarments, we provide that as well. And hospice pays for most of the medications along with those other things. So
now, when we look at this and somebody is considering whether or not they should think about hospice, I want to touch on that in just a minute. But before we go any further, I do want you to give out some contact information. If somebody out there would like to contact you or your service and they got questions, what would be a good way to do that?
Sure. Well, we have a couple of different options. We do have a website, which is www.ghospice.com. They can go on that website and they can navigate a list of different offices. We have offices in East and West Cleveland, Akron, Youngstown, Toledo, Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, throughout Michigan, other states that I mentioned as well. Or they can call the local Akron office where I'm based at, 330-899-0180, and ask for Mike, and I'm always helpful and willing to call them back and point them in the right direction.
Oh, very good. And of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. This is National Hospice Month, so we're taking a break from all the stuff that's going on in the world around us, the election turmoil and everything. And we just want to focus on hospice today a little bit and thinking about those people not only who are utilizing and have utilized hospice service, but all of those people, as you said, the nurses, the aides, the social worker or social workers, and the chaplains, and all of the different ones that are involved in providing hospice support. We certainly want to salute all of you during this National Hospice Month. It's a great time to think about this, and that's why we're doing the program. And as I said, my wife has been a hospice nurse for a number of years, and is actually your coworker. That's how we have your hospice on. See, that's...
yeah, and she's wonderful, too. I'll give a shout-out to Kim. She's fabulous. The staff and the patients just adore her.
Well, and I kind of do, too. I'm a little partial myself.
I understand.
But I'm just thankful she has a great place to work. And thinking about hospice, I wanted to look at here, because we're coming into the last half of the program here, and I wanted to look at this idea. Let's say there's somebody out there that perhaps they're struggling with some terminal diagnosis that they've received or a loved one's received, and I say they because this could be initiated by the individual themselves, or perhaps family members have relatives or loved ones that maybe are not... quite able to make the decisions themselves, and they're thinking about this, and they're struggling with this, and it can be an issue. What is the best way for them to start when they're still at that phase of just not knowing what to do?
Sure, and that's why I give out the contact information, because the easiest thing to do is simply pick up the phone, make a call, and initiate an inquiry. And I always make myself available to meet with patients and families at their convenience, just to provide the literature, the information, and have that conversation. And sometimes we'll find out that, maybe it's a little premature, maybe the patient isn't quite appropriate or eligible mm-hmm. for hospice care just yet, but at least they have a foundation of knowledge and a basis of understanding, because oftentimes it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when things will continue to decline right. and their physical condition will warrant itself to hospice at a later date. But there's never any cost, there's never any obligation, high pressure. I'm an advocate for education, information, so that they know mm-hmm. what hospice is and how hospice can help.
And, like you said, there's many myths out there. I remember my mother-in-law, when Kim was first considering hospice, her mom was, she knows better now, she actually was on hospice service herself. So that's a third family member that I've got. But her mother said, oh, why would you want to work for hospice? They just kill people.
And that's a common misperception. And I think part of that, Pastor Al, is based on the perception with television and movies.
Mm-hmm.
People, even in this day and age, they have the misguided notion that we just fill them up with morphine and speed along the process. And nothing could be further from the truth. We don't do anything to hasten what will naturally occur. And on the same notion, we don't do anything to postpone what will naturally occur. So a large part of our team's role is to help patients reach a level of acceptance and understanding that this is out of our hands. This is what is likely to happen over the next several weeks or several months. And we help them realize that we can provide comfort, support, maintain your respect and dignity while this plays out. And I think at the end of the day, if you asked 100 people, probably 99 out of 100, if they knew the prognosis is grim, they'd rather be at home in familiar surroundings with loved ones nearby instead of in a hospital setting
mm-hmm.
where they're hooked up to pumps with bells and whistles and lights and machines staring at a ceiling. I don't think many people want to pass away in a hospital setting, so this affords them an alternative.
Right, and I should actually clarify my mother-in-law's statement was more like people go on hospice and then they die.
Well,
I did have somebody else ask me that or say that to me one time. But so somebody decides, they make the decision, they're going to go on hospice, and whatever the situation is, what then would happen? You find them to be appropriate.
Sure.
And the patient is now signed up on hospice. What can they expect and the family expect? Are they going to just take them off all their medications, or are you going to put them on more medications? What kind of things do you do?
Well, and that's a great question, because I want to address that specifically. It's one of the things that makes Grace Hospice different than some of the other providers. We don't come in and discontinue half of their medications or more on day one. We do a comprehensive review of the medications mm-hmm. that they're on with the family, the patient, with the physician, with the pharmacy, and we try to identify which are the most helpful and the most appropriate that we should probably continue. Maybe there are some medications that are no longer useful or beneficial, and our experience has been most people want to take the fewest number of medicines possible right. with the best benefit. So there may be some that we can eliminate. And then we sometimes add new medications, but it's usually on an as-needed basis. We'd rather have these comfort medications in the home if they become necessary to use, but not have them on a regular scheduled basis.
Absolutely. And then, of course, another question that frequently comes up, and I've heard from time to time, what if something should happen to the patient? You know, regardless of their diagnosis, let's say they fall out of bed and they break their hip.
Sure, sure.
What do you then do?
Well, you know, it's ironic that you asked that question, because we just had that scenario this week. In fact, we had a patient
who'd I did not know that, so I wasn't asked to
get that. No, it's just the timing is ironic. We had a patient that had been on service for probably 3 or 4 months, and he sustained a fall at home, mm-hmm. and he did, in fact, break his hip. So he signed off of hospice yesterday, went into the hospital to have a surgical repair of that hip fracture, and then upon returning home, re-enrolled in hospice. Something like an expensive surgery bill at the hospital is not covered by hospice. Mm-hmm. But it was a very seamless process to discharge him from hospice, let him get the necessary medical treatment, and then he can re-enroll in hospice upon his return home.
Well, absolutely. Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure having you on with us today, and we were coming down the last few minutes here. And if you could give people your name and phone number and all the contact information again, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and I appreciate the opportunity to share my wisdom with your listening audience, Pastor Al. I am Mike Tripodi. I'm a registered nurse with Grace Hospice, based out of the Akron office. Feel free to call us at 330-899-0180, or you can visit our website, www.ghospice.com.
And also, you know, thinking of this being National Hospice Month as it was, or is, not was, it is currently, I just certainly want to thank you for what you do and for your coworkers, including my wife, Kim, for what they do. And having had both my parents be on hospice and my mother-in-law be on hospice, you know, people who have been there, I think, and have received hospice service, and I say receive hospice service because obviously I'm still alive, but they're not just treating the patient, are they? It's a whole family, isn't it?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the patient is the focal point, obviously, because they have the malady or the infirmity, but we do, mm-hmm. we treat the entire family as a unit, and we provide that emotional support. And part of hospice includes ongoing bereavement support. So after one of our patients passes away, we provide bereavement support for the surviving family up to 13 months after that passing.
And that really is ample time to be able to identify if somebody's having struggles and get them in contact with resources that can help them. You know, we're coming up, you know, the holiday season, Thanksgiving, and just it's hardly about 2 weeks away almost, I think,
right.
now, and then Christmas and New Year's. And this is the time when after somebody loses some of those first holidays as a pastor, I see this. Those first holidays without that loved one there at the table or there at the celebration can be the most difficult, and that's why I'm glad that you guys stay around for a little while to get through those holidays and those birthdays and those anniversaries. So, Mike, we got about less than about 20 seconds to go. Anything you'd like to add in about 10 seconds?
Well, I would just say I think most of us that work in hospice care find it as a calling and a ministry to serving humanity, and it's an honor and a privilege to care for people during a vulnerable time.
Well, thank you so much, and again, my salute to all the hospice workers out there. You're doing a wonderful job. Appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for listening today, and God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.